Well, good morning, everybody. Good to be with you. Today, we're going to be continuing our series on the Kingdom of God. And if you've been at St. Mary's over the past few weeks, you'll know that we've been talking about the priority of the kingdom and the principles of the kingdom, understanding the kingdom. We've been talking about the main person in the kingdom, which is, of course, the Lord Jesus Christ, the King. But today, we're going to change direction a little bit and talk about us a little bit, and we are the people of the kingdom and how we live the kingdom today. But before we get into that, I just wondered if you could think about a time in your life, perhaps when you were growing up, when it became your turn to do something for the first time, and you held that kind of sense of either excitement or responsibility according to what it was that you were doing for the first time. I was thinking about my 17th birthday, and the only thing I remember about my 17th birthday is that my dad had promised that I could have a go at driving the car for the first time. So I remember him handing the keys over to me as he sat slightly nervously in the passenger seat, and I had my first go at getting my hands on the wheel and driving the car, which was a bit more difficult than I expected. I also remember I was in the school cricket team for a while, although not with great distinction, but I was a batsman, but I used to bat a little bit down the order, about number four or five, and I just remember that feeling of when you wait, you've got your pads on and your gloves on, and you sit there waiting, if you've ever played cricket, you sit there waiting for one of your teammates to be out, and sometimes you have to wait a long time, and sometimes you even have to kind of break for tea, and you're too nervous to even eat your cucumber sandwiches, but you have to wait, and then eventually it is your turn, and you go out to the crease, you take that long walk out to the crease, and you know it's your turn. And in my case, it was normally followed by a pretty quick walk, long walk back to the pavilion. Or maybe you've held something in your hand for the first time, and it seems hard to believe that you're holding it. If you have children, you might remember the first time you held your baby son or daughter for the first time, and it's hard to believe, isn't it, that this baby is yours and it's in your hands. And just one final example: a long time ago, I used to work in the House of Commons, and sometimes I used to take people on tours around the Palace of Westminster, and you could take people into the main Commons chamber, and one thing, when you go into that Commons chamber, when it's not seated, you're not allowed to sit on the green benches as the MPs do. But one thing you can do is you can stand at the dispatch box like the Prime Minister, and you can place your hands like this, as the Prime Minister does, on the two kind of far corners of the dispatch box, which are all sort of worn and shiny from where many Prime Ministers have held on during Prime Minister's questions. And you can stand there and think, you know, maybe one day it'll be my turn. Of course, that hasn't happened. But I want to say that in some ways the kingdom of God is a bit like this. Because Jesus came preaching, as we know, that the kingdom of God is at hand. But he also says to you, the kingdom of God is in your hands. It's your turn now. Okay, the kingdom of God is in your hands. It's your turn now. So don't worry, Jesus is still the king. You know, it's his kingdom, and he's still with us at all times. But he entrusts his kingdom to his kingdom people, which is us. So it's hard to believe, isn't it? Kind of the very presence and power and authority of Jesus you hold in your hands. Okay? So how do we get to this point? Well, in the passage from Luke we read, there's a really interesting progression leading up to Luke chapter 10, which we heard from today, because earlier on in Luke, Jesus calls his 12 disciples. That's back in chapter 5. Then he teaches them, and he demonstrates what he does. So he heals people, he raises people from the dead, and so on. Then he takes his disciples with him as they go on a sort of traveling ministry, proclaiming the kingdom of God. And then we get to chapter 9, and basically Jesus says to his disciples, he says, "I've shown you how to do it, now you do it." That's basically what he says. So chapter 9, verse 1 and 2, Jesus says to us, well, it says, Jesus called his 12 together, and he gave them power and authority over all the demons and to heal diseases. And he sent them out to proclaim the kingdom of God and to perform healing. So that's what the 12 disciples do in chapter 9. And you might say, well, okay, fair enough. Obviously, the 12 disciples, they were the ones who were going to go on and sort of found the church and shape the New Testament and so on. So it's not surprising that Jesus sort of asked them to do that like he did. But what happens in chapter 10, which we read from today, is really fascinating. Because there, Jesus commissions 70 other people, and we don't know who they are, what qualifications they had, and he sends them out to go ahead of him to every place that he was going to come. And as far as I can see it, Jesus instructed this wider 70 to do exactly the same as his 12 disciples, which was to talk about the kingdom, to heal people, and to cast out demons. And I think this 70 number, in the NIV it actually says 72, but some other translations say 70, so I'm going to go with 70, if that's all right. But I think this 70 is quite significant because the number 70 sometimes signifies the wider people of God. So in the Old Testament, when Jacob took his sons and their sons down into Egypt to be with his son Joseph, the total number the company that went down into Egypt was 70. And when Israel had come out of Egypt and the people were sort of complaining in the desert, Moses appointed 70 elders to share the spirit that was on him and to kind of bear the burden of the people. So this kind of 70 kind of means the wider people of God. And so if Jesus is forming a new Israel and a new people of God, comprising both Jews and Gentiles, then it seems that this 70, it's demonstrating that Jesus wants his whole people to share in his ministry. And he's entrusting his whole kingdom ministry to his whole kingdom people, which means you and me. But at this point, this is where maybe comparisons with cricket and cars and politics slightly fall down, because the kingdom of God is not a game, is it? And it's not a toy, and it's a lot bigger than politics. And it's actually a matter of life and death, the kingdom of God, for everyone, including Jesus. Because when the context of our passage today is it's just after the middle point of Luke. Because in chapter 9 of Luke, Jesus has, he's kind of changed direction and he's set his face towards Jerusalem and the cross. So in Luke 9:51 it says, as the time approached for him to be taken up to heaven, Jesus resolutely set out for Jerusalem. So it's in that context as the cross starts to loom large that Jesus sends out this further 70 people. So that means there's a kind of an urgency to Jesus' message, because he's sending these people to a number of villages which Jesus is going to pass through for the very last time on the way to the cross and on the way to Jerusalem. So in light of this kind of importance and urgency of the task, guidance does Jesus give to his 70 wider followers? Well, actually, he doesn't give them too much specific detail on exactly what they should do, other than to speak about the kingdom and to heal people. But he does have some things to say about kind of how they should do it. And maybe there's a few points we could take to apply today. So he tells them to go in pairs when he sends them out. So I think it's a good principle, isn't it, not to go alone. You know, we're not expected to take on this kingdom ministry on our own. We're meant to be part of a team. Now, obviously, in our day-to-day lives, we may often have to go to work or wherever on our own, so to speak, but we need to make sure we've got connections with other Christians, however that happens, through church or life groups or however you connect with people. But we're not supposed to go on our own. We're not expected to do that. And then a bit later on, Jesus says to his 70 followers, you know, he says, don't greet anyone on the road, which sounds a bit strange, doesn't it, or even possibly a bit rude. But I think what he's saying is, he's saying, kind of try to be utterly single-minded, because he's given us a mission. So he's saying, don't get distracted. Don't let other people or other voices set the terms of your mission. Listen only to Jesus. And that's good advice, isn't there? Because there are so many things that can hold us back, that can distract us, that can weigh us down. But we need to be kind of travelling light with just the words of Jesus in our ears. And then he says, whoever listens to you, listens to me, and whoever rejects you, rejects me. So we can have confidence that we carry the words and authority of Jesus himself. And it's like we're an ambassador working for a king. And in fact, it's not just like that. That's what we are. We are ambassadors for Jesus, and we carry the weight and authority of his words. But maybe more important than all of that, maybe more important than whatever we do, or however great or small our kind of role is in this battle that we're sharing with Jesus, it's most important that we know Jesus, and that we're close to him, and that we're with him. Because at the end of the passage, it says this. It says, the 72 returned with joy and said, Lord, even the demons submit to us in your name. And Jesus replied, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. I have given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions and to overcome the power of the enemy. Nothing will harm you. However, do not rejoice that the spirits submit to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. And that just reminded me of another warning that Jesus gives from Matthew's Gospel, where he says, many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name drive out demons, and in your name perform many miracles? Then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. So wouldn't it be terrible to do many great things for the kingdom of God, many great works, to work very hard, and then to find out we never really knew the Lord Jesus Christ himself, that we didn't actually enjoy being with him above all. Yeah, so let's make relationship with Jesus the main thing. So if you are a follower of Jesus, you are a person of the kingdom. You're part of the people of God. And that means the kingdom of God is in your hands, and it's your turn. So the kingdom of God's in your hands, it's your turn. So don't worry, of course, the kingdom still belongs to Jesus. He is still the king. You know, one day he will rule on this earth in all fullness. We don't need to worry about that. But in the meantime, we have a role, in fact, a big role to play in that, a part in his kingdom ministry. So do you believe that? It's kind of hard to believe, isn't it, in some ways. Are you making full use of it, if I can put it in those terms? I don't always feel like I have the sort of the authority of God in my hands, but that's, I believe, what Jesus is teaching us. So are there maybe specific things we could be doing or praying for opportunities to see the kingdom come in whatever ways it could be? It can be often in very small things. The other day I thought that I was thinking about who could I invite to the Alpha course. I thought I should invite someone to the Alpha course. And the person that came to mind was our local, I think the politically correct term is our school crossing patrolman, or lollipop man, that's what we call him. So I thought I should invite him to the Alpha course. so I gave him, I don't know why I found it so difficult, but I just gave him one of the little Alpha invite cards a couple of weeks ago, and just left it at that. Then the other week he said to me, oh yeah, that Alpha course, yeah, I went on an Alpha course 2 years ago, and they took me away for a day. It was with some kind of church in Chigwell Row, and he said, yeah, they took me away for a day, and it was really good. So I thought, wow, this guy, he's just a random guy in the street, but he's actually been on a sort of a Holy Spirit day already. And so you just don't know what God might be doing in people's lives and what kind of part of the jigsaw we might be adding in, however small that may seem. So yeah, let's not be distracted. Let's travel light. Let's listen only to Jesus, because the time is short. The King has come, and the King is coming again. So we say thank you, Jesus, for your kingdom. Can I just pray to finish? Lord Jesus, we thank you for your kingdom, and I pray that you would help us to understand our part in it, and to understand the role we have and the power we hold in our hands for your glory and for your kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen.